me, Gerard Hector, and Coach David Thorpe. How are you, sir?
I am well. I'm a little bit sad.
Oh, yeah? Why are you sad? Because it's the end of the regular season?
Yeah. I like it. And so I love the playoffs and draft season's coming. But I like my life with the way it is. And to fucking we have to change it now? It's not fair. Yeah. No, I'm good, though. How are you?
We got 3-4 games left. Yeah. So Sunday will end the regular season. Playing will start Tuesday. Playoffs will begin that Saturday. You know, there's such an advantage to being a team that is in the 3-4-5 range, because 3-4-5-6, right? Because you know who you're playing. 1-2, while you have the better record and better seed, you're waiting to figure out, well, who's going to win this play-in tournament and get that seed. That impacts preparation, right? In terms of how many teams you scout for. You scout for two teams, or actually scout for more than two teams. There are different possibilities who can be your opponent. Whereas if you're 4 or 5, it's it. I know who I got, and I can rock and roll. So that'll be interesting to see.
And one of those teams could be the Lakers or the Warriors.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Steph and LeBron.
Anytime in the postseason, you have to face off against one of those dudes, those elite dudes who've won multiple titles.
Yeah.
That's problematic for you, right? Because you know they can do it because they have the track record that's shown it. So yeah, it's interesting. The Kings, a lot of people are like, oh, are people trying to work the schedule to get to the Kings? I'm a believer, David, I understand why people say that and why there is strategy involved that you would think about that. I always have the feeling like you mess around and try to like coordinate who you're going to play is going to end up biting you in the end, right? Ultimately, if you're going to win a championship, you got to beat good teams. Like that's just the end of the day. You got to beat really good teams, and you got to trust in what we do as a team and as an organization is going to be good. We're prepared and we're ready. This idea of ducking people till this round or that round, like I think you find yourself in trouble that way.
Yeah, the old John Wooden, worry about us. Let's just play well. Mm-hmm. If you're a higher seeded team, you've been better for a reason all season. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't like playing those games.
Yeah. Yeah,
the game already is hard enough. Right, don't complicate it.
Right, trying to, all right, let's lose this game to win the next one. It's like, I don't know.
It's too much. Too much.
So the league, some good news before we get into our final season awards and all NBAs, which of course is, difficult and keeps people up all night and has people pulling their hair out. But the league and the NBPA have reached a tentative agreement on a new collective bargaining agreement, which will prevent a lockout and have us some labor peace for the next 7 years, I believe. So that's all well and good. There's some interesting highlights, David, that came out of this new CBA agreement. One, the new requirement that in order to qualify for awards like all NBA, all defense, et cetera, and MVP and all that, you have to play a minimum of 65 games. So off the bat, how do you feel about that?
I thought we talked about it some on Monday where I don't like the hard number because I'm worried.
You play 64 games.
Yeah, I don't want to be in a situation, or maybe I talked to someone else about it. One of the podcasts I did, if you're at one game below with a game to play and you think you're gonna be up for an award and you're not right, like your foot's a little sore, your calf's strained. And you play to qualify and now you're hurt, you end up getting hurt for the postseason. How does that benefit the NBA? I think we can all agree that it's best if we have our best players playing in the postseason.
Correct.
So I don't like that we have a hard number. Let the voters, but it doesn't matter now. For me, I've always had a hard number in mind. And when we do our award show today, I have a hard number. I had certain parameters that had to be met, generally speaking. So let them do that. I don't like the hard number.
Yeah. No,
how about you?
I agree. It just makes it difficult, right? Again, if we're looking at it right now, if this were the case of this season, Steph Curry would not qualify for all NBA. Kevin Durant would not qualify for all NBA. Like there are a number of awesome players who, when they play like the best players in the league, who wouldn't make the list because they don't meet this criteria. And then you get into the situation where GMs start like sitting guys for the because we're not tanking, but we're resting, whatever, right? Like it's just, it causes too many problems, in my opinion. Ultimately, the voters have a metric and ideas in their head about what it should be. I think that's part of the problem, David, right? Is that fans probably want more transparency. Well, why did you vote for this guy and not this guy? Like, what's the rationale? And I think that's what people clamor for that, right? Like,
I think so.
What is the reasoning? And it's difficult, right? Because you have to have parameters, but you can't be too rigid in your parameters that, it overtakes common sense, right? It's just, it's very, very difficult. And this stuff is important because all NBA and these awards tell the story of the league for that season, but it also tells the history of the NBA. And, you know, it's not major in the history of the world, like world issues and like geopolitics, it doesn't matter. But in terms of the history of this game, which we all love, it matters who wins these things and who does what. So it's important to that we have this going on. So I'm with you. I don't love the hard number, but it is what it is. One of the other things they're doing, which we already do for our awards, they're going positionless for all NBA. Finally. I mean, look, it was silly to me that Joel Embiid was not a first team player the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Because he is and has been
player in the league,
one of the five best players in the league for the last 3 years. Like, yeah. It's just silly.
Top three for sure.
For sure. Yeah. So what are we even doing here? So I'm very happy they got rid of that. Some of the more interesting things. Players can now invest in cannabis companies and sports betting companies. We are already down a slippery slope with this gambling thing. And full disclosure, we partner with FanDuel on a variety of different things, but it's just
we're not playing in the games.
Correct. We are not. There has to be, because, and Henry talks about this, right? When they decided to take the money from gambling from the sports books, which is what the league wanted, they had to make it clear, right? Injuries were going to be upfront about injuries, who's on the list. Now, if a player's partnered with another betting house, are they giving that betting house information? I'm not saying they are, but
it's opening up a potential for a lot of problems, Gerard.
Yes. How are we negotiating all this is what I'm asking.
Yeah. I don't have any answers. I don't have any answers. That part concerns me.
Yeah, for sure. The idea that players can now invest in NBA and WNBA teams through an NBPA approved private equity firm. I guess on its surface, it sounds good, but if you know anything about private equity.
Yeah, right.
You know, read Henry's Billionaire series on Jeffrey Epstein, and you'll start seeing some of the connections here. No doubt, one of the private equity firm of choice is going to be one that is very cozy with the NBA, and you know, you don't have to do too far digging to find some other nefarious issues. Look, anytime you're involved in a enterprise that is multi billions of dollars, and that's what the NBA is, like it is a multi billion dollar enterprise. Shit's gonna get weird.
Did you read the ProPublica report that just came out about the billionaire that's basically funding Clarence Thomas?
I did not. I saw that headline.
I mean, to your point, when you start doing business with these kinds of people, it's bad for all of us. So we basically have one of our nine Supreme Court justices has received, you know, probably well over $1 million in gifts. And so forth, that was undeclared. Forget about the declared stuff. Like, what a surprise that he is who he is. Like, the guy's being paid for that. And so now you have supposedly the most trusted institution, which it isn't, is got to deal with that and make it even worse. Mm-hmm. The NBA is doing the same thing. And when you're dealing with this, we already have billionaires owning teams. Mm-hmm. The private equity stuff, all of it it's messy. I'm worried about it. I have real concerns.
It is very messy. You're right. And we talked about this before. When the league does eventually expand, which it will, the money that's coming in, there's only a handful of people who can afford to buy an NBA franchise. There aren't many, right? Like, it's a short list. And it's pretty likely that some of that money is going to be Saudi money. And, you know, we've discussed that, right? Like, at best, it is questionable. At worst, you know, it's blood money, right? So, I mean,
right.
this is where we're at right now, folks. So, you know, just stuff to keep your eyes on. But at least on the one hand, the league will avoid a lockout, which, you know, we are thankful for that. All right, David, time to get into the fun stuff. Award season. Yes, the games don't officially end till Sunday. But I think as of 2 minutes before we came on, David, I'm at peace with my decisions. I'm like, I'm not looking at these again. That's it.
I have one All NBA concern that you mentioned about leaving guys out. There's one guy left out. I have my own artificial number of games they have to play. He didn't make it, and so he's out. And you're gonna get mad at me for it, probably. but I'm mostly at peace. Yeah, it wasn't very hard for me to. I had a couple ones that were pretty tough. The rookie of the year was tough for me. I forget, maybe sixth man was a little bit. No, sixth man wasn't so bad. Rookie of the year was hard for me.
Rookie of the year was hard. Yeah, rookie of the year was definitely hard. All right, let's start with the one that's gotten everybody's feathers all ruffled. MVP. You go first.
Well, I want to try to guess what you're going to pick.
Okay.
You want to try to guess what I'm going to pick?
Yes. I'm going to guess you're going with Jokic.
And I'm going to guess you're going with Embiid.
Aha! Well done.
So I understand it, and I don't think you're stupid for picking Embiid.
And I understand why you picked Jokic.
Right. My thought was I think Embiid's got a way better cast of characters around him. I don't think either team is particularly has an amazing coach. I do think that what Denver has done with Jokic and what they look like when he isn't there, which is like a G League team, that Embiid has been unbelievable down the stretch. And I almost went Embiid until I started really diving into the last 20 games and realized this is such a garbage team without him. Garbage. they're garbage when he sits out as a starter, right, in game. And then when he misses the game, fucking garbage, like flaming garbage. And yet they're the best team in the West, which is not the best team in the East.
Right.
And so I felt like I'm not, this is my choice. I'm not worried about the history of three in a row.
Yeah.
This is the year he deserves the MVP in a very close vote. And I think Joel Embiid is the second best player in the world right now.
My reasoning for going Embiid is, it's funny, Jokic in some ways is kind of throwing his hands up like, I don't even want it.
Yeah.
Right. Like I don't care.
I agree.
And because because he did that, I'm like, okay. Because if he didn't, I'd be like, I'm going with you. Then I'll give it to Embiid then. Since you don't want it, you gave me permission to give it to Embiid. So I'm going to give it to Embiid. Look, Embiid has been dominant. And there is a way
that
physically he just dominates in a way that Jokic does not. In a head to head, Embiid kind of gave him the business and the Sixers won that game. You know, those count for things. He does play in a tougher conference. The top end of that East is a nightmare.
Yep.
And, you know, yes, they lost to the Bucks, but they beat the Celtics either or not. Like, you know, so they're doing their part. And Embiid has really shown. And look, and he clearly, like, it's not every game, but there are games where he decides, all right, this 2-minute stretch, nobody's getting anything anywhere near the rim. And it's incredible when he does that. So that's my reason for giving it to Embiid.
Yeah. The whole thing is very unseemly, that Kendrick Perkins bullshit and some of the other commentator that was just stupid. Embiid's trainer. That's not Embiid's fault. Embiid's trainer shilling the few times. I don't really am on Twitter much. That's weird to me. The bottom line is you really can't go wrong. If you beat Giannis, you're made a mistake. It's these two guys.
Yeah. And as good as Giannis is, those two have been better this season.
Yeah, I think so too.
But let's be real. If I'm a GM of a team and I got either of those three guys to start my franchise, I'm in pretty good shape.
I'm not sure I would take.
All three are amazing.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. Well, what it would take, David, is, and this is what Henry and you and I always talk about, you got to be good as a GM in roster construction, because while they're all excellent, they are three different kinds of players. Yeah. How do I maximize what they do best so that we are our best?
Right, for sure.
That's what we got to do the work.
Yeah.
All right, Defensive Player of the Year. I don't think it's any surprise who I'm going
with. No, our favorite player.
Correct.
Triple J, baby.
Yep. Yeah. He has been awesome this year. Look, the one thing I throw out about this is he missed the first 13 games of the season when he's come back from injury. They were a bottom third defense. He comes back, they've been top three all season since. There you go. That's my case.
Yeah, and he's got Rudy Gobert dominated this category for a while. This guy's going to do the same thing, I think. He might lighten up a little bit as he advances offensively.
Which he's doing now.
It's possible. Yeah. It's possible. I hope not.
Yeah.
But because if he keeps improving offensively and keeps doing this defensively, well, now he's an MVP conversation.
Correct.
Which would be amazing. let me tell you something. If he wins MVP the first time over Luka.
Oh, we're having a victory parade.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'm not saying it's going to happen because Luka's unbelievable. But it would be fun.
Absolutely. All right, the tough one, rookie of the year. Look, I wanted to go Jalen Williams from Oklahoma City. I really did because, look, he is a, not quite, but he's basically a net positive or a net neutral rookie player, right? Yeah. Like, he doesn't hurt the Thunder when he's on the floor. As much as Paolo's counting stats are great, he is a negative player. Like, now, granted, Orlando ain't good.
But they're not terrible.
But they're not right.
And Paolo deserves credit for that, too. I would, before you say anything, let me share this with you. You ready? Okay. All right. One of these players is 24th percentile at the rim, 18th percentile mid-range, well, not even mid-range, like 3 to 10 feet, and then 14th percentile from 3. Ooh. Right. This is percentile. 24th, 18th, and 14th. The other one is 63rd percentile at the rim, 52nd percentile in the second box area, 51st percentile from 3. So based on, and is a better defensive player, the second one. So to me, I know what the narrative was, but I'm like, I got to pick Jalen Williams.
Yeah, no,
he's you're not got wrong. All those better numbers.
He does. He does. Yeah.
And he's been terrific. And I don't give them more credit for being in the playoffs, whereas whereas Orlando's not, because the West is weaker. Mm-hmm. So they're really, I mean, I think one team is 38 wins, one is 34. Mm-hmm. So that to me was kind of a wash. And I just felt like, no, his metrics are better.
He's
better at every range as a guard.
Yep.
And he's obviously better on defense. Paolo is exciting. Probably has a better future.
And Paolo's counting stats look better, which is what rookie of the year always gets anyway.
But that's not something I couldn't even tell you what their counting stats were. I look at advanced data for a reason. My choice is, and I had Paolo ranked higher. With I'm trying to stroke myself. Mm-hmm. I had Jalen Williams as maybe a top 5 prospect, but I had Paolo at maybe number 2. Mm-hmm. I think I had number 2. Number 3. I had Jabari 1, Ivy 2, Paolo for long term, not for this year. But no, I'm giving Jalen Williams. How about you?
I like it. I'm glad you did that. So one of us did the right thing. I went with Paolo because I was like, this is what everybody's going to do. Everybody's going to say Paolo.
If I was predicting who's going to win, you know what? I think Paolo's going to win.
He's going to win.
But I wouldn't have picked
him. But I agree with you. Williams has been much more impactful to winning. And if you look at the numbers show it, right? Like, he's a better scorer at all three levels than Paolo is, right?
And I place emphasis on how the season goes. I place the least amount of emphasis on how the season starts for anything, really. Mm-hmm. It's so long ago.
Right.
The league was different then than it is now. Players injured, trades, whatever. Mm-hmm. Jalen Williams is finishing with a bang.
Oh, I love it. I love the pick. All right. Sixth man of the year.
I bet we agree.
All right. Who you got?
I've got the young man from New York.
Emmanuel Quickley.
Yeah.
Yep. So I had it. It was between him and Brogdon. I was like, ooh.
Yeah,
I agree. So good for Boston. But I went with Quickley because he's been doing some amazing things for them. He actually been in the starting lineup lately because some injuries they had with Brunson. But look, Tibbs has found the guys that he trusts.
Yeah,
very clear who those players are. I talked about this on Monday. What worries me is this guy's playing a lot of minutes right now. Like, come playoff time, how much energy are they going to have left? But that's a different question for a different day.
Right
now, I'm with you. Emmanuel Quickley, rookie of the year. Love it.
Yeah, I'm really proud of that.
I mean, six man, excuse me.
Yeah, he's a heck of a player.
So good. Listen, excellent pickup by Leon Rose and William Wesley in their front office and identifying that he'd be a good player for them. Coach of the year, we said this, I think, multiple times. We know who it is. It's Mike Brown from the Sacramento Kings. You know, David says not yet.
I'm going to give it to two people.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm allowed, because it's made up anyway.
That's right, correct.
You can't tell me I can't do it. You're not my boss. I'm going to share it with Pickerstaff.
Okay.
After all, you voted for them top 5 all year long, pretty much.
You're not going to get any pushback from me.
It is not what he did this year, and I've never been a fan, but I'm a pragmatic dude with no pride. I don't think he was a good coach 5 years ago. He's done a hell of a job. The way that team's constructed to play defense, the way they played it with two less than average guards, different guys playing the three, to be where they've been all year, net rating, no real bench to speak of. And the Kevin Love was good, and he's gone. Mm-hmm. And yet here they are. I think they're 11-4 last 15.
Yep.
I think Mike Brown, we have to acknowledge, absolutely deserves it. If either one of them get it, I get it.
No problem.
Of course, I think they both deserve it, and I'd be awfully proud to know that both those guys did a hell of a job this year.
I'm with you 100%. Everyone knows the Cavs have been basically top five all year for me because they've been one or two in adjusted net rating for like months. Like, amazing. They're very good.
And they're finishing strong.
And Sacramento, they haven't made the playoffs in 16 years until this season.
And they made it a while ago now.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean.
We knew there'd be playoffs for a while. So, yeah.
And look, they're top three in the West. Like, they're not a play-in team. They are top three. I gotta give it to
them. Brown has always been known for his conservative defense, and yet the Kings is one of the two best offenses. Yep. I think they're the best.
Number one offense, number one in pace.
Mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox, when your players have career seasons, a coach deserves some credit. I think the players deserve the lion's share of the credit. DeMontis has been great.
So good.
Hurd has been great. Fox, just a different person. Mm-hmm. This is the guy we thought he'd be. I had him top five when he came out. Mm-hmm. They're just it's a great story.
No doubt.
And they could lose first round, but who cares? They got there. They're going to get there. Yeah.
It's baby steps, man. We haven't made the playoffs in 16 years. Who cares about winning the first round? Let's get there first, which they have. All right. Most improved was kind of tough for me, though. I imagine you probably got an easy pick.
No. I had two.
All right. Who'd you go most improved?
I have no idea if I did the right one. It's super hard for me. My final two were Laurie and Shea.
Oh my God. David, we are so alike in how we think. I'm spending too much time with you on these pods. I'm thinking like you.
And I don't know if I picked the right one. And I love them both, but I gave it to Laurie because Shea was amazing last year and just didn't play a lot. Mm-hmm. And he was better this year, deserving of the runner-up. Laurie is as a transformed. He's an all-NBA player now. And I didn't see that coming last year. No one did. I don't think Cleveland would have traded him had they thought he'd have been this. Although Donovan Mitchell has been amazing. And Utah should have been terrible this year. And Laurie just wouldn't allow it to happen. And neither would Walker Kessler, by the way, who's my third for Rookie of the Year.
Oh.
I gave it to Laurie.
Yeah. The reason why I lean Laurie is because, again, we knew, Shea was good last year. Yes, he's definitely improved this year. But Shea was good last year. I don't think Laurie is a legit number one option on offense.
Yeah.
That is what you can build a team around Laurie Markkanen.
And he's a three, you know, the term three level score is a new thing. It's fair to say.
Right.
He can just really score. I'm telling you this. I'm lucky enough where I get to prepare players to go against these great players. He's really hard to guard. Really hard to guard. So mobile, agile, great shooter. And I've had a couple guards have to guard him in the post. And these guys know how to wall up. They're smart. He fucking destroyed him. Like, he's hard to fucking stop. And he brings it, man. He just competes. Shea also, hard to guard.
God.
Really, really, really hard to guard.
Foul drawing magnet.
But you kind of know what's coming. You can't stop it. Laurie, I'm not even sure. He's so versatile. Those two might play against each other in the playoffs in the near future. Yeah, we got a nice little... Those are two really talented guys that are competing for all NBA for a while now.
And Laurie's young, David, as is Shea. Like, I mean, look, Danny did a nice, listen, Utah, if you know what you're doing over there, Laurie is, because we saw him at Eurobasket, we're like, ooh, he's looking good.
That's what I don't know, who gets this credit. Is Laurie the one that did it because we saw it last summer? Or did he do what he did great and then Utah also enhanced it? We don't know. Yeah, I like Will Hardy just fine. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is, I think he deserves most improved.
Yeah.
And no disrespect to Shea. Shea will get the playoffs. Laurie can get the MIP. Fair is fair.
All right, guys. We're going to be back after a quick commercial break. All right, David. Now we're getting into, I don't say danger time, but the, all NBA, which is just like, so just so everyone knows, we here at True Hoop, which the NBA is going to do, as I mentioned earlier, are going to take away positions next year. We've been doing no positions since the beginning because this is a positionless game. Just give me the 15 best guys. I don't care where they play. I'll figure out how to make that team work. I got David Thorpe with me. He's a good coach. We'll figure it out. No problem. I'm going to start off with some guys who didn't make it.
Yep.
And it pained me so much. But if he just played 52 games, I'd be like, oh, he's making a team. Kevin Durant, not going to make any All-NBA team.
He's not on my list either.
Has not played enough. But he is top five in EPM because he's amazing. He's fucking good.
He's amazing. Yeah. And so hold on. Let's argue this. I'm on your side, by the way. The argument would be by someone like Henry, not in a negative, in a violent way. He and I discussed it yesterday a little bit. the counting metrics are what they are. Mm-hmm. In 51 games, he did more than most. Mm-hmm. But to me, you can't help your team win when you're not playing.
Correct.
Period. Those games count. Mm-hmm. And you don't count in those games. So I have a number. To me, it's like 60. Mm-hmm. You got to get to 60. Otherwise I can't consider you. So Steph Curry doesn't make my list.
Yeah. So that's where we are. So I said, oh my God, am I not going to have Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, not on and all? Yeah. And it's like, and LeBron. And I was like, I can't do all that. So I didn't go that far, but KD's didn't make it. Tyrese Halliburton, Sabonis. Right. Wait, this one.
Sabonis did not make mine either. Nope.
We know no Kawhi didn't make it for me because not enough games. No. Jalen Brown didn't make an All-NBA team.
He did not make mine either. He's very close to it, but he didn't make it.
Drew Holiday did not make an All-NBA team.
Did not make mine either.
And then this
one's... Oh, no. He did make my third team.
Okay. Drew didn't make one for me. And this one's going to drive you nuts because we just talked about how awesome he is. Lauri Markkanen didn't make it either.
He made mine.
So, okay. Let's start with third team.
My third team, like I said, it was Drew and Lauri. So, obviously, mm-hmm. they were close. Mm-hmm. Jared Allen made mine.
Ooh.
I think they have another player that'll make mine as well. Julius Randle made it.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks have done a great job. Mm-hmm. And then Kristaps Porzingis made it. He's been unbelievable.
So our first, not disagreement, but like the first team where we have some, we're not in sync on this one. Listen, Jaren Jackson Jr. made my third team All-NBA. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
Well, you should be sorry because he made my second team, you son of a bitch.
Oh, no.
You hear that, JJ, Triple J fans? He only made your third team. He's on my second team. I value what you do, young man. I value defense. It matters to me. I'm old school that way. I'm not some fly-by-night NBA guy scoring. I want to guard people.
Trip, listen, buddy. You know.
Who's the president now of your fan club?
David may have overtaken and is now the president. Yeah, I may drop to vice president now.
Abdicate the throne, my man.
But don't worry, because you're first team in somewhere else and you already have a major award. So it's not like I snubbed you.
Right. A major award. You sound like Darren McGavin and
Fragile. I think it says fragile. Exactly.
Yeah, right. Major award.
It's a major award. Yeah, all right, award. Trip. Look, LeBron, when he plays, he is still very excellent.
So you have LeBron in there.
I had LeBron
in there. Because you're old school, yeah.
Julius Randle.
Yeah, good.
Donovan Mitchell.
Wow.
Mitchell's been good.
Trust me. He's on my list, but not on second team.
Okay.
No.
First team.
I'm not saying.
He's got to be first team. Okay.
He ain't third team.
And then the last guard spot was hard. It's either Morant or Booker. And I don't want to penalize Morant for the gun incident thing. That's its thing that you're going to deal with, and hopefully you're getting better with all that. But when you play basketball, he's still very good and very excellent. Devin Booker has also been excellent. So, look, whichever one makes it, the other one's out. At this point, it doesn't matter. But that's my third team right there.
I did not put Morant on any team. I didn't care what it was. It was such a draining thing what he went through.
It was.
And I'm a big believer that poor decisions have consequences.
They do.
And our league is not great at that. So I that was my own punishment. For 1 year, you're not making my NBA. Okay. you might be Finals MVP.
Right.
But I do think Memphis is very good. I watched them last night. Terrible loss, although exciting.
Terrible.
But he was great. He was not playing.
Right. Yeah.
Just great. Just
cheering and like getting up.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan.
How did we like Jaren Jackson Jr. as the hub of the offense late in games to get buckets?
Yeah. He was good.
Yeah, man. It's coming. Yeah. Listen, guys, we told you years ago. We told you.
Yeah.
All right. Second team. This is where we get real funky. So you don't have Anthony Davis probably on your second team, right?
No, he didn't play enough games.
He didn't play enough games. That's right. Yeah. Okay. So this is where we have differences.
And Booker, too. Booker didn't play enough games.
Booker didn't play enough games.
Yeah.
AD. Jimmy Butler.
He was on mine.
Jason Tatum.
He's on mine.
Steph and Dame.
Neither of those guys played enough games to me.
Yeah, that's why.
But you're not wrong. They were both, I understand. Dame missed too many games and Steph did too. So I got Shea,
mm-hmm.
which almost made my first team.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Butler, Tatum, mm-hmm. Triple J, I told you.
Oh, no.
Triple J is my second team. And then the other name that's going to shock you, I think, James Harden.
You know, it doesn't shock me because he has been very good. I think for me, the Embiid thing has overshadowed, in my mind, not in actuality,
yeah,
in truth,
yeah,
but how good Embiid has been has overshadowed in my mind. As good as Embiid is, take away Harden, and I don't know if it's working as well in Philly. Actually, I do know. It's probably not. Right? If you put a league average player in James Harden's spot, probably not as good. As great as Embiid is, Philly's not the same. So that's fair to give.
And he's only played 57 games, but I was guessing he's going to get right at 60, maybe 59. But I just felt like he's been too good to be right there almost to the very end as a first seed in that league, mm-hmm, in that conference is very good.
I mean, right, so he should have been an all-star this year, and he is still an exquisite passer and reader of the game.
I think he's a big reason why Embiid's having his year, too.
I think
Embiid knows, and talking to people, too, connected to the team, James has been super helpful to get Embiid to believe, to get that really talented team with a coach I think is just okay, not great. They're clicking really good, and I think James is a big part of that.
So what do you think's happened to Doc over the years? Because there was a time in the Clippers days and Celtics days where you're like, no, top five coaches, Doc Rivers, he's up there.
Yeah.
You think he's just like, I'm bored, I'm getting old, I don't care anymore?
I mean, those things aren't stupid to say. Our bandwidth diminishes as we age. I'm sad to say, I know that's the case with me. I think that sometimes our age too makes us stubborn. Mm-hmm. And so the reality is, I don't think Doc has the feel that he needs to have. He's just lucky to have two such brilliant players. And Harden is such a, Harden is one of the more enigmatic players of our lifetime because he's known as the beard. He's got, he revolutionized the game in a way Curry did, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Curry did it differently and better, but what Harden did was really incredible. And yet he's got a physicist brain. Like, mm-hmm, he's super crazy, he's
super smart.
Yeah. He's one of those guys that, like, you watch these movies where, like, the Flash is super, mm-hmm, fast and he sees everything in slow motion. Or, as I told Henry about it, when you see some of these videos of the cat versus the snake, mm-hmm, and then very rarely can the snake get the cat or the mongoose, mm-hmm, the mongoose just processing faster. Mm-hmm. And so, I see this coming. Where we think it's super fast, mm-hmm, that's Harden. He just sees it slow motion, really quite incredibly so.
Yeah.
And I think Doc benefits from that. So,
for sure.
There's a lot of concern with people inside Philly that, like, he's going to fuck this up. We'll see.
And I'll tell you this, if they don't get to the conference finals, he ain't going to be back next year. That's probably a really good bet to make.
I think you're right. Yeah. And that's a big if.
Yeah.
Because that's a tough challenge because of Milwaukee and Boston.
No doubt.
Well, it'll be Milwaukee.
First team, all NBA. All right. The three guys we know because they got to make it. Yeah. Embiid, Jokic, Giannis. Like that. Right. Those are the three best players in the league.
Right. And Luka, too.
And so Luka and SGA for me makes it as my fifth.
And I had SGA second team and Donovan first team.
I'm
also telling the Cavs fans about that. Mr. So-called Cavs fan. Donovan has been unbelievable.
He has been so good.
And he tries on defense and he shares the ball. And my favorite story about him is, I did Cleveland Radio this last weekend. That 71-point game, mm-hmm, if memory serves, I could be wrong, he had like the game-winning assist.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just been a breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. He's got playoff moxie, real playoff experience at a super high level, like record levels what he's done. And I think that's added to the swagger the Cavs have. Mm-hmm. I think it's helped. That's why they've had the season they've had, historically been such a bad franchise when LeBron James isn't on the roster. So for that, I felt like Donovan deserves it. On my list, you can't see it, but I have Shake on there and I crossed it out. Donovan.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was that close to me.
I mean, this is, you can't tell the story of the NBA this season without the players that we mentioned. And really, you can't even tell it without the players that we did, that I said didn't make the list, right? It's really those 23 or so odd, 25 players, those tell the story of the league this year. And they were incredible. All right, all defense. We did the same thing here, no positions. All right, first team. Oh, we'll go backwards again. Second team. Nick Claxton.
Got it.
Anthony Davis. I know he didn't play enough games to you, but he's on for me. Herb Jones.
Yep.
Aaron Gordon.
He's on my list.
And Dylan Brooks.
He's on my list. So I had Brooks, Aaron Gordon instead of Herb Jones, mm-hmm, Jimmy Butler, Claxton, and Brooke Lopez in my second team.
I like it.
It's easier to be a big guy,
yeah,
but I can't argue with the fact that they're really a dominating team. And He's such a big part of that story.
Well, of course, yes. So on my first team, good God, it looks crazy. Brooke, Jaren Jackson Jr., of course, Draymond, Drew Holiday, OG Anunoby.
So the only difference I have is Alex Caruso's in there.
Okay. Yeah. And yeah. It was tough for me leaving him off. I was like, the only reason why I gave OG the nod is like, well, OG starts. And like,
but I have Herb Jones out altogether for the second team. I have him on there, crossed it off and put Aaron Gordon, who was initially on my first team. So I've got Drew, Draymond, Triple J, OG, and Caruso being the fifth.
I like that.
Alex is just he's literally a game-changing defender.
Well,
really
it's interesting. Henry said this, since we were talking about this on the last Thursday's pod, this idea about analytics versus like the jocks versus the nerds discussion we were having. Yeah. And according to defensive EPM, Alex Caruso is number one in the NBA.
Yeah.
And so the conversation we were having was, and Henry made a great point, it's like, I don't know if Alex Caruso is the best defender in the NBA. What I do know is when you put him on the floor, your defense is really good. When he's off the floor, it's not good. And right, that's like, and I think the tough part about this metrics conversation is that like, which is why I love what Seth Partner does with the tiers, right? He's like, look, I'm not saying Steph Curry is better than Kevin Durant or vice versa. What I'm saying is they are in the top tier of players in the NBA. Yeah. You do what you want when you get up there. But yeah, these four or five guys are the best. And then the next tier and the next tier. And I like that idea because there's strengths and weaknesses. But as Henry says, our brains can't handle that. We want to know who's two, who's three, who's four. We need definitive ranks.
I really struggle with all that. In the position I'm in, I'm talking all the time to agents and players and coaches. I tell them you have to stop acting as everything's black and white.
Right.
It just isn't that way. You're the team that beats you today doesn't mean it'll beat you tomorrow either. Right. You look at our probabilities and odds all the time. I just tell you this, Caruso is a nightmare to prepare for.
He is.
Yeah. You just have to know he's gonna make it really hard on you, as is Drew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No doubt.
And OG deserves a lot of credit too for what he's done.
Now, I'll tell you what, that those all defensive teams, I mean, you know, there's some overlap, but love to see that all NBA first team defense go up against the first all NBA. Woo! That would be interesting.
That would be really good.
Right? Be a little knockdown drag out.
That'd be really good. Yeah. It would not be a high scoring game.
It would not be.
And even on the first team, I mean, Jokic isn't a great defender, obviously. Giannis and Embiid are.
Yeah.
Luka's not. Donovan's passable now.
Right.
Yeah, they would have an advantage over our first team defense, though.
For
as
sure.
As good as the first team defense is, that's a good group of offensive players.
Oh, they could score a ton of points. All right, all rookie. There's two teams.
Yep.
Let's start with second team. Andrew Nembhard is definitely second team for sure. He might be first. I wanted to get him first team, but anyway. Andrew, Jabari, Keegan Murray, Jalen Duren, Tari Eason.
Slow down. So you got Andrew's second team.
Yep.
Who's your next one?
Jabari Smith Jr.
Yep, he's on my second team.
Keegan Murray.
He is on my first team.
Ooh. Jalen Duren.
He is on my second team.
And Tari Eason.
And he's on my second team.
Okay. Yeah.
We only have one thing different. My first team, my second team is Eason. Oh, I have Mathurin's second team. You have him first team.
I do, yeah.
Because he's not the best rookie on his own team. So well, I put him second.
Andrew, I was like, Andrew's actually better.
He's definitely better. Someone who watches the Pacers. Eason's second team, Mathurin. Eason, by the way, has a chance to be a terrific player.
Yeah, he does.
I like Tari Eason a lot. And Jaden Ivey's second team, I'm also a big fan of his. Jalen Duren was better than I expected for sure. And then
Jalen Williams, his first team.
So, yeah, first team is I've got Keegan. I've got Walker Kessler's first team.
As do I, yep.
Yep. I've got Paolo first team, of course. Jay Wilfer's team. And then my fifth one is Nembhard because he starts over Mathurin.
He guards the best players on the other team sometimes.
So he plays Mathurin's position, which is a two. Mathurin's starting lately at three because their buddy was out, whatever. But Rick Carlisle played him over Mathurin. It tells us something. Mm-hmm. And then he's one of the most diverse defensive guys in the league. Drew Holiday maybe guards the most diverse group. Scottie Barnes does. But Andrew Nembhard's guarding, I'm not kidding, Durant, LeBron, Tatum, and he's a guard. He's a point guard. Right now, he's starting a point, and he's close to having triple-doubles as a starting point guard, and he's finishing really strong, too, which is good. So I have him as my other first-team player. And I needed to have a real point guard on there.
It's Paolo, Jalen, Walker Kessler, Jaden Ivey, and Mathurin. That was my first team. Yeah, I mean, as usual, we generally have all the same guys, give or take. Yeah.
I really like the Jalen Williams kid.
He's
going to
be very good.
I really think they got themselves a hell of a player there.
And you've been saying this all year. And now we don't know anything for certain because, as you say, predicting the future is hard. I'm going to assume they're going to keep Shea. They got everything they need to trade and acquire a legit running mate to go with Shea. And man, oh man, Oklahoma City could be doing the thing next season for sure.
I mean, listen, Jalen Williams is good enough now where you might be able to trade him and some other pieces for a hell of a player if they want to win right away. I'm not saying they'll do that, but like he's going to get a pretty thing. The thing is, on the money side, OKC just says anyone makes money except for the good player.
Yeah, Dort's going to have to go in any deal
because he's Dort, right?
Nah, he's the one with the but unless you trade Shea, but that's not I don't think
if you're going to keep Shea because he's an MVP level talent now, then yeah, the other guys could be gone, including Jalen Williams and some other picks.
I want to, before we get into top five, David, I want to look at the Western Conference. So the top four seeds have clinched their spot. I believe Phoenix has the four seed no matter what, because they have the tiebreaker over the teams below them. There's a possibility that Sacramento, I think, could still get the two over Memphis. So I think those last two games will still matter for both of those teams. You said on Monday that the Lakers, if they get the Kings in round one, you're picking the Lakers. You're like, no, Anthony Davis and LeBron are going to be tough to beat. Any other bottom seeds you think will legitimately give a chance to beat one of those top teams?
Is Andrew Wiggins going to play for Golden State?
he's not going to play the rest of the regular season, but he will likely be back for the start of the playoffs.
That means something. Even if he plays 5 minutes a half, it does mean something. So I think they're a team that could be, and the Clippers.
You still like the Clippers.
What is Paul George's story? Yeah, is he going to come back and play? It's going to be very intriguing. And because no one in the West, Memphis is probably the surest bet in terms of, except for we don't know about Steven Adams either, do we?
Yeah.
We don't know if he's coming back, right?
Not looking great.
Yeah. So that makes everyone so fallible. Whereas the East is going to be pretty 1-4. Maybe it's going to be 1-3 and then either 4 or 5. Well, obviously be 4 or 5, but 5 could beat 4. The Knicks could beat 4. I think 1-3 cruise. In the West, it's every series could go 6 or 7.
So if we have a Phoenix Suns LA Clippers first round matchup,
I would lean Phoenix for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
If we have a Phoenix Suns Golden State Warriors first round matchup,
I still would probably lead Phoenix, but it won't be as easy. And KD's got he seems like injuries are always just a day away at that age. I worry about that, but
and Phoenix Chris Ball. Seems
to have, Phoenix has seemed to solve some issues. They could really ascend because they're so new still. Mm-hmm. It's going to have its problems. If they win the West, great. I favor them right now. I wrote an article the other day about it. I have them favored, but I think anything's possible in the West.
Because I'm always trying to turn this into a Grizzlies podcast. The Jaren Jackson Jr. surge on offense, particularly when Ja was out with the suspension, and then he didn't play last night for some rest purposes. How does this change their half-court dynamic come the playoffs if Tripp is a legitimate person they can say, okay, we can run offense through you in the half-court in the playoffs?
Well, they should. They should do it, especially when Ja's out. But even when Ja's in, having varied attacks just makes you harder to guard and take some of the pressure off Ja to begin with. So I think it's something they've stumbled into in a sense that they should continue to mine.
Yeah, I'm with you. And Luke Kennard has been a revelation for them.
Yeah.
He's hitting everything, which they need because they don't shoot the ball well from three. So that's huge for them.
Yeah.
The one thing I worry about is, and I love him, he's such a great player, Desmond Bane's T-Rex arms, man. Like, he gets downhill, trying to finish the rim. I'm like, those little arms, man. Like, they just, this league is full of velociraptors, man. Yeah. You need wingspan.
Yeah, it makes a difference. Yeah, it's true.
It's so crazy. All right, our final top five of the regular season. I mean, what are we even doing? It's probably going to be the same, is it all?
I don't know. I don't know. I think there's going to be so I'll go first at 5.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've got the Cavs at 5.
Ooh, as do I.
Nice. I've got Memphis at 4.
As do I.
Wow, okay. And so then I've got Philadelphia.
Yep.
And then Boston, Milwaukee.
Correct.
Wow, we nailed it. How about that?
That's where
the first time all year we've done it straight.
I think so.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah.
We usually have the same teams.
Boston could be number one.
Yeah.
They're the first seed. But I think we're looking just at more currently, too. I give Milwaukee a little bit of an edge.
I need to know what's going on with Robert Williams.
Yeah.
I need Jason Tatum to start shooting better again.
Yeah.
Jalen Brown's getting a little nicked up. Marcus Smart's been a little bit, you know, there's just little things that I'm like, okay, I'm keeping my eye on. Hopefully that first round series, they can blitz through whoever they're playing, get a chance to rest and get everybody together. Milwaukee looks so good.
What's your regular season ending prediction of what the finals will look like? Injuries, we can't control. So
okay.
What would you pick? In the East, you take? In
the East, I'm Boston. And here's why. Because of what I said all year, I think that collective disappointment from last year is going to be that little extra that gets them over the line in a top 7-game series. In the West, I think it's going to be Phoenix and Memphis in the conference finals. And boy, this is torture for me. Well, I got my guy KD on the one side, and then I got the Grizzlies on the other side. I'll give the edge to Phoenix just because their maturity. You know, Memphis to me still has a step to go.
Yeah.
Before they're really ready to do the thing. What about you?
I've got Milwaukee versus Phoenix.
Okay.
I have Milwaukee Clippers preseason. I'm going Milwaukee. Remember, they also had a bitter disappointment. It was just not the finals.
Correct.
It was game 7 against Boston with the Eastern Conference Finals, yes. Right?
Yeah. So that's their motivation.
Yeah. So I think that Drew seems to have turned a corner for me as a scorer, which is something he needed to do. Yeah, Giannis is like, you cats can argue over who's MVP, but I'm fucking going for it all, baby. I'm trying to win that ring.
David, late in games, Drew is totally fine being like, oh, no, I'm going to actually do the step back three for a
I'm telling game. You, and I'm I've good. Seen a change in him.
Yes. So
that's scary. Yeah. Boston's fantastic. Philly's fantastic. Like, yes. Those are going to be, we just have to hope for health. I just want health.
I know.
The West is going to have drama. It's who's going to win. Every game's the East going to have powerhouses throwing haymakers everywhere.
Man, the team coming out of the East, man, they're going to be so bludgeoned by the time they get to the finals. Because at a minimum, they're going through at least one 7-game series, possibly two.
Yeah,
like
I agree,
it's going to be rough. Anyway, all right, folks, enjoy the end of the regular season. Quick one today. Listen, it's end of the season. We're getting some rest ourselves because it's coming fast and furious. When the playoffs start for you, David. Are you like, Chrissy, listen, she knows this is the deal. I'm in my office and I ain't coming out until 3 a.m.
No, so it's funny you say that. Because I watch so many games in regular season two, I pick always the night before we do a show, I'll watch all the games. Mm-hmm. But I can catch up the rest on Synergy.
Right.
So I'll see her more now.
Okay.
And I think my kids are going to come home. My son may come and watch some games with
me
for a couple of days. I'm hoping my daughter's coming for Taylor Swift. I told
not
her,
to see you.
I told her, don't. Well, she's going to have no choice because she's staying there with some friends the first night. But I said, I'll drive you there. I think if my son comes to town, I'm going to hang out with my son and my brother while the concert's going on and not make her take an Uber back really late at night. We can't find Uber, 50,000, 60,000.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. I'll just pick her up a block away. But that won't be, there's no playoffs. So Thursday night next week, there's no playoffs.
No.
Play-ins Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yep. And then Saturday. Yeah. There's going to be so many games on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Starting at noon till like 10 p.m.
That is where I'll be busier is during the day. I don't watch basketball during the day too much during the regular season, with some exceptions. But I'll watch playoff action during the day.
Oh, yeah.
And then catch up, you know, in the mornings and for our shows.
No, yeah. That's going to be I'm going to have to pick and choose spots. There are going to be certain games I'm going to circle. Like, yes, I'm watching that live.
Yeah.
Other ones I'll be like, I'll catch in the morning. I just, you know.
That's how I am.
It's a lot.
So Monday we'll get a chance to preview the play-ins and the playoff matchups. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, the ones that are set. It'll be interesting. All right, everybody. Enjoy. Have a great weekend. We will see you next week.